Father, I thank you, Lord, and I give you glory and praise that you are the great God that is always with us. I am the Lord, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And no matter what we're going through at whatever time, you are there with us, and we give you glory and praise. Now, today, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask, Lord, that send that light, shine our hearts today to bring encouragement. The Bible says that when men are down, you'll say there is a lifting up. So let there be a lifting up here this morning. Let this be a lifter upper kind of message to help everybody this morning in Jesus' name, or afternoon. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, good morning again and welcome everybody. Good afternoon. Praise the Lord. I want to just share a few scriptures with us. You know, people, one day things are going well. The next day, it seems like people, you know, are just heavy laden with one thing or the other. And the devil, that's what he does best, is to try to come against our minds with all kinds of things. You know, but, you know, we want to share some of the antidotes this morning. How do we overcome some of these things? And what is it also that makes us to get rattled at times? You know, and how do we defend our minds? How do we defend, you know, it's like defending your castle. Your mind is your castle. You got to defend it. How do you do it? You know, and the devil always coming against us. So let's encourage ourselves with some scriptures today. First one, of course, Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Here's what the Lord said. Thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, right away we see a few things in that verse. The Lord is the one that will do the keeping, but we have to do our part. Our part is to let our minds be stayed on him. That's right. And let us trust in the Lord. So the two things that we must do according to that verse, and he will do the rest. When we keep our minds on him and trust in him, well, then he'll keep us in perfect peace. And we want to talk about experiencing perfect peace, calm, even in the midst of the storm. You know, sometimes we go through different kinds of storms, some minor, some even major storms at times. There is no telling what we're going to face from time to time. One thing that we can tell, though, is that the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But whether we experience small storms or major storms at times, well, we don't know what, we can't predict. What we do know, though, is we need to put our minds on the Lord and trust in the Lord with all our hearts. I say trust in the Lord, you know, with all your heart, because, well, the Lord is the Lord Jehovah. In him is everlasting strength. So let's read that again. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Now, the next verse tells us to actually trust in him. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's right. You know, the Lord will give us the grace, but we must intentionally place our trust in him. Let's encourage ourselves with a few other scriptures. Psalm 46. Read the first three or four verses out of Psalm 46. The Lord our God, he says, is a very present help in the time of trouble. Somebody needs this encouragement today, or you're going to need it tomorrow. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now that's different things happening around you, upheavals, and just, you know, you might even be in the eye of the storm, literally or figuratively, you know, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I mean, when things are blowing up around you, how can you stay and how can you remain in perfect peace? Well, let's look at some things that the scripture gives us, recipe, an antidote for fear and anxiety, and recipe for calm and peace, even in the time of trouble. Now, maybe little trouble, and it may be big trouble, but whatever it is, well, we'll find out how to gain a victory over these things. Remember, keep that in your mind. Our hearts and our minds must be stayed on Him. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. It talks about, you know, how the Lord surrounds His people. And big fact that He surrounds us, well, we will be unmovable. And that's the thing. They that trust in the Lord. So we're talking about the first recipe here is trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. I mean, can we trust Him that He will see us through? You know, when we're going through the situations and He's there with you, can you trust Him? You know, that He'll see you through. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. That's it. You know, I mean, you now become an unmovable object, so to speak. You can't, you know, none of these things, so Paul said, move me. You can't be moved by any of these things. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth forever. Well, what is it? It could be a sudden loss of job, sudden loss of income. I mean, you're about to lose your house or whatever is going on. You know, every one of us has things that we go through from time to time. I mean, sometimes a loved one, a family member, sudden sickness. I mean, you're talking one day, you're rejoicing, the next day you're rushing them to hospital. Or maybe even yourself. I mean, you know, how do we deal with these things? I mean, why is it that we can't just have like a plateau? I mean, constant, you know, when you graph a situation, sometimes the graph is up and down. Why can't we just have a plateau of joy where everything is just stable and everything is just steady? We don't have these ups and downs. Why not have all this steady joy? Well, ups and downs, those are part of life. But in the midst of the ups and downs, when you stack the graphs together, there is a graph of up and down, but then there is a graph of steady joy because of, you know, keeping our hearts on the Lord. You can graph those things together. You find out that even in the midst of that, you can have that peace and that joy. Well, we'll find out some ways to help us, you know, to get to that posture of having that unmovable stance, you know, no matter what's going on. You know, there are, you know, some things that the Lord has told us in the Bible, Isaiah 43 and verse 2. He said, when you pass through some situations that look like they will overwhelm you, He said, they will not overwhelm you, you know, because I'll be there with you. The difference is, you know, we all pass through stuff, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. Everybody pass through stuff. you know, the grace that God gives us through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit is what makes the difference, or is what should make the difference. So, you know, everybody will pass through, but with us, because we have the Holy Spirit with us, the grace that comes from His presence gives us the ability to pass through without being damaged. Now, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. Now, that's when, not if. When you pass through, I will be with you. And when, you know, either the fires or the rivers, I will be with you. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And that's what the Lord promised us. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. When you pass through the rivers, it will not overwhelm you and overflow you, but you will pass through. It's not if, but it's when. At such a time that we're going through, then let's know that the Lord will be there with us. And He has promised to keep us through it all. Praise the Lord. And that's a promise that you can count on from time to time. We should remember that, you know, when we are faced with situation. Today may be a day of joy. Tomorrow may be a day of tests and trials. You know, but there's some other things we're going to talk about today of building up capacity for that situation that is coming. You know, we're not looking for trouble, but it will come. Jesus said it Himself. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, trials, and testing." So it's not maybe you will have, you will have, you know, but we know that the Lord is able to keep us. John 16 and verse 33. "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." And that's the peace we're talking about. You know, peace even in the midst of stuff. In the world, as long as you are in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have testing. You're going to have ups and downs. But be of good cheer, He said. I've overcome the world for you. And so, you know, when these things come, you know, we wonder, I mean, why do I have these troubles at times? You know, well, I don't know, and I can't say. However, what we can say is the Lord will be there with you. Praise the Lord. Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, you know, though I walk, see, through the valley of the shadow. You know, and I often said that the key word there, or one key word, there are several key words, but one key word there is through. It's just the same thing as when Isaiah said, when you pass through the fire and when you pass through the river. So, you know, right off the bat, we already know that we're coming out on the other side. That's what passing through means. You know, so the Lord will get us through that valley of the shadow of death. I mean, it's like death is all around. You know, maybe you even see dead bones all around you and so forth. It's a very scary situation. But because it says pass through, that means coming out on the other side. So that's the mindset we should have. We should not have the mindset that you are going into the thing. That's a dead end. You're always passing through. And everybody actually says that. You know, unknowingly, we say that. So, well, People say, well, how you doing? Say, well, I'm going through some stuff right now. And I said, people, well, when I catch them at their words, I said, well, by your own admission, you already said you're coming out on the other side. Because that's what passing through means. So the Lord, he will be there with us and he will give us the grace to pass through. Psalm 27 and verse 3 also gives us the encouragement to not be afraid, no matter who or what is against us. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Well, okay, this man, I can tell you, it's not as easy, said as done. He built up his confidence by charging himself in the presence of the Lord day after day after day. You know, it's not when we are in the trouble. That's the first time that you're crying out to God. You won't have any confidence, you know, but if you have been prayed up, you know, you've had times in his presence that you've prayed up. And then when the situation happens, you have confidence because you know you already prayed about that situation. And people that don't pray or spend time in prayer, when they face a crisis, they are more likely to be running helter-skelter. I'm talking of even believers. I'm not talking about those who are not even believers. We are more likely to be running helter-skelter in the midst of the crisis because we have not spent time in prayer. But if when we spend time to develop that trust, it's a relationship of trust, trusting the Lord to get me through, even though at the moment, I don't know the outcome or the outcome of this situation that I'm in will be, but I trust him to get me through it. And here's the way the Lord puts it to us. It's like, look, we're going to get through this together. Think of God saying it to you. Sometimes your best friend or somebody that's really close to you trying to encourage you might say that, or your parent or a loved one, say, look, I'm in there with you. We'll get through this together. Well, that's what God is saying in Isaiah 43 and 2. When you are going through this stuff, I'll be right there with you. You know, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. He says it so many times. And we need to have that confidence in him. But there are times that you will be afraid. That's why Jesus always said, fear not. You know, when it comes into a situation that is brewing fear and discouragement, and sometimes even people are desperate and despairing of life, you know, and Jesus will come and say, fear not, only believe. And the psalmist said, here's his own recipe of when he's afraid. What does he say? Well, in Psalm 56 and verse 3, he said, look, what time I am afraid, what am I going to do? This is what he said he'll do. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Remember, every one of these scriptures, you know, since the beginning that we've been reading, hinging on this trust in the Lord. And I'll expand on that in a little bit. But what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And along with that trust, in God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. Not just will put, but I have put. So he's got a double witness. I have already put, and I will put my trust in him. He has trusted the Lord in the past, and he will trust the Lord again. He has gotten some victories in the past by the Lord, and he will use that to garnish strength for the present conflict. The Lord that gave me victory over the lion, the Lord that gave me victory over the bear when he rose up against me, he looked like 8 foot, 9 foot tall. I've seen something tall before. This Goliath, It reminds me of the bear when he rose up against me. He was pounded his chest like that. It was that big. But the Lord gave me the victory. The same God that gave me the victory then will give me the victory now. I know I put my trust. In God have I put my trust, and in God will I put my trust. So it's all about trusting. I will not fear what any flesh can do to me. I will not even fear what any situation can rise up against me can bring. I know that the Lord is able to bring me through. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 5, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what does he say next after that? When we pray, what do we say next? After you pray, the next thing you say is amen. And this is how we know to pray. We pray a few things, then we say amen. Or we say in Jesus' name, then you say amen. And so after prayer comes the amen. Well, after this exhortation or be careful for nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. The next thing after that, this is the amen portion of it, is and the peace of God. See? We're talking about peace in the situations that you are going through. The peace of God will keep your hearts and mind. That's right. You know, this is peace that cannot be understood. Why can it not be understood? Because naturally speaking, you shouldn't have peace. You should be all over the place. I mean, running crazy like chicken with the head cut off. But somehow, you have peace. You know, and the way to have the peace is put your trust in him, keep your minds on him. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep you through that thing you're going through. Now, he didn't say here that the Lord will remove the problem or solve it right away, but either way, he said you'll have peace. And that's our subject matter today. Perfect peace. Calm in the midst of the storm. Peace in the eye of the storm. I mean, how can you have peace in the eye of the storm? What do they call the eye of the storm? You know, I don't know. Some people have been through it, but I pray that nobody will be through it. But you might have seen it on TV when these, you know, furious tornadoes pick up houses, pick up trailers, you know, swirl like that and slam everything. Some people have been right in the midst of that, you know. The scripture says, look, whether we have trouble that we cannot overcome, whether it's little trouble, whether it's big trouble, we'll keep our hearts and minds, the Lord will give us peace. Whether he resolves the matter quickly or not, whether it's solved quickly or not, nevertheless, you'll have peace. And that peace is what we must discover. How to discover and get peace, even when the answer is not immediately forthcoming while we are in trouble. But remember, our God is a very present help in trouble. Though the mountains be removed and upheavals all around us, he'll come through for us. And we must trust him through the storm. Trust him through the fire. Trust him through, you know, the rivers that want to overwhelm you. The psalmist said, the proud waves have gone over my soul. I mean, it's like, you know, these things want to put you out, take you out, put you under. But the Lord, he will never leave you. He got you in the palm of his hands. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, encouraging the disciples that he gives them and will give them peace that they can't find anywhere else. That's what he said. You know, he said, my peace, hallelujah, I live with you. My peace I give unto you. John 14 and 27. Not like the kind of peace that the world promises, because, you know, theirs doesn't last. But I give you my peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus knows your heart will be troubled. That's why he's saying, well, get a hold of yourself, you know, and let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Well, our hearts have the tendency of being troubled many times. And we have the tendency of drawing ourselves into a position of fear and being afraid. But the word of the Lord here is telling us that, look, you know, brace yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. David knew how to do that very well. I love this story and I've referred to it multiple times, but it, you know, it goes well with a message such as this. So let's talk about it again. I want to give some examples of some people, you know, how they handled situations. It's a story of David in Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. In that time in his life, of course, David was running from Saul and doing all kinds of things. And then one time he went and joined himself to the Philistines. And some people joined with David as well. You know, those people who are disgruntled, you know, who had all kinds of issues going on, they joined themselves to him. So one day or some time, Moses was going to fight a battle that did not concern him at all. He was trying to fight on the side of the Philistines. And well, all the people that were with him followed him to that war. By the time they got back, their own place had been invaded. You know, he said the Amalekites had come and invaded Ziklag, where they sojourned or lived at that time. And they burned it with fire, took away their women captives and all that were therein. They didn't slay anybody, thank God for that. But they carried them away alive and went on their way. And by the time David and his men came back to the city, they found it was all burnt down. You know, and nothing was there. All their wives and children, sons and daughters had been taken. And they began to weep. And some of them began to say, you know, we should have been here defending our own home. And we're out fighting with you for a war that does not concern us. Now look at us, what has happened to us now. So they were even thinking of stoning him. Stoning David, that is, because their minds and their hearts were grieved because of the loss that they had suffered. And everybody was wailing and lamenting, and they didn't know what to do, you know. And David himself, you know, and the people that were with him in verse 4 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, lifted up their voice and wept. Both David and all his people that were with him, until they had no more power to weep. I mean, can you imagine that? How long is that going to be? Probably hours. You know, I mean, they wept and wept and lamented, you know, and just wept until, I mean, they just almost drained themselves out. There was no more power within them to even weep. And David's wives were taken. And so for everybody, his children and everything, everybody was greatly distressed. And the people even began to talk among themselves. See, you know, I said we shouldn't have followed him. Some people say, well, we couldn't have predicted that this would happen. Everybody's arguing. They say, look, this is the man that brought this evil upon us. And they said, they're going to stone him. You know, back then, it's always pick up a stone and stone somebody. And when David saw that the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, David himself being grieved, he did what? Well, Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Well, how did he do it? Well, there is a psalm, you know, that is similar to how he might have encouraged himself. You know, how did he encourage himself? You know, he would say things like, well, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? I will praise the Lord. You know, he would stir himself up. Even when he wasn't feeling like it, he would stir himself up to praise the Lord. Let's read some of his responses in, Psalm 42. He says, you know, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Starting at verse 5. Why art thou disquieted within me? And he would talk to his own soul. He's talking to himself now. Hope thou in God. Put your hope in him. Put your trust in him. And I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He began to talk to himself. You know, and you know, sometimes people come to the church service and they are, you know, people around them are jumping up and down and so forth, you know, praising the Lord. But inside of them, they're carrying hurt. He said this. He said, look, I pour out my soul when I remember all my troubles. I have even gone with a multitude. He said this in verse 4. I went with a multitude to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. In the middle of all of that, when we were keeping the holy day, we were shouting, we were praising the Lord and so, but inside of his heart, and this is a situation that some of us find ourselves in at times, in the midst of, you know, apparent good things going on around you, but inside your heart is heavy. Because you remember your own situation. You know, maybe you are rejoicing with others, but in your own heart, you know, you see that your situation has lingered year after year after year. You know, what do you do? Well, why thou cast down all my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? Or talk to your soul. You know, hope thou in God, he said. Yet praise him. And say, Lord, and then he talked to the Lord. He talked to himself. He talked to the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He talked to himself. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. But I will remember thee. And then, you know, every time he's cast down, he will bring a word of encouragement to himself. I will remember thee. I will remember thee. And I will say unto God, he is my rock. And then he turned to God and said, Lord, why has thou forgotten me? And then as soon as he says it, he will also encourage himself again. Why go I mourning every day because of the oppression of the enemy? It's a sword in my bones, my enemies. They go unto me every day, say, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Well, the recipe is hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Health of my countenance and my God. Let's look at a few other people in the Bible. Just a short encouragement today. How they encourage themselves in the Lord. You know, how'd they do it? You know, how'd they encourage themselves in the Lord? Well, let's look at some of them. I love the story of Micah. This is the way he put it in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. These people all went through. I mean, we're not the only ones that are going through. They went through as well. He said, this is how he encouraged himself. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When the devil think he got you in a corner, got your back to the wall, he will gloat over you. You know, when you stumble, the devil will gloat over you. But the Lord will reach out his hand to pick you up. See, that's the difference. The devil will try to stomp you down, but the Lord, he'll lift, put you, his hand out to lift you up. Praise the Lord. And you know, the devil is wicked. That's why we should, you know, take no prisoners too. When you have the opportunity, finish him off. Don't give him an inch, because, you know, you give him an inch, he'll raise his ugly head time and time again. You know, when I fall, he said, I shall arise. He's predicting recovery for himself. You know, look, when I fall, I will arise. Even when I sit in darkness, what does that mean? There are times when it seems like the voice of God is nowhere to be heard. You can't hear from him. You just like, I mean, most days, you know, you're hearing his voice, you're on a roll, You're on cloud nine. He's talking to you. Holy Spirit is guiding you step by step, and you're cool. You're just, you're all along, you know, and so on, you know. But there are days when it seems like his voice is nowhere. You pray, but it seems like he's not hearing you. He's not answering. Nothing is happening. That's sitting in darkness, basically. What does that mean for you then? What are you going to do when that happens? Well, here's my answer. Is in those moments when you are in darkness or you sit. You're never really in darkness. You're just sitting in darkness. In those moments when you sit in darkness, remember what he told you when you were in the light. That's right. In the light is the moment of joy when the Holy Spirit's voice is clear and direction and things are going great. He's giving you point blank and you're telling you this way and that way and you're following and things are good. And there are times when you can't hear anything. You tried everything, you don't hear. Those are sitting moments of sitting in darkness. What do you do then? Well, got to be confident that he's coming through. It may be a test. Maybe the Lord holding out a little bit to see what you're made of. You know, that's right. You know, will you hold on or will you give up or will you give in? You know, he said, look, I will not give up because the Lord will still be a light unto me. Hallelujah. When I don't have any light of my own, the Lord will be my light. You know, when I'm down in the doldrums, the Lord will pick me up. And that's how you encourage yourself. You know, what about Habakkuk? Habakkuk 3 verses 17 to the end. How did he encourage himself when he had tremendous financial losses all around? Everything. I mean, it's like bankrupt. You know, everything. Say, fig tree is not blossoming. There's no fruit in the vines. The labor of the olives have failed. The fields are yielding no meat. All your investments are losses and so forth. Flocks are cut off from the fold. There is no herd in the stalls. What do you do when all these things are? And this is the response of these people. They've gone through it too. Say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. This is the one that puts a dagger in the heart of the devil. When he throws everything and kitchen sink and all that at you, and you can still rejoice in the Lord. That's right. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Hallelujah. And he will make my feet like hinds feet. I mean, these people, they encourage themselves with the word of the Lord. You know, and he will still make me to walk upon my high places. Now, that's how you do it. And don't give in the face of trouble. Don't give in the face of difficulty, but spend some time with the Lord before the trouble. I mean, you know, when we, if we spend time, I am of the firm belief that if we prayed more, you know, less evil, I mean, the chances are that we will encounter less evil or the Lord will avert them more quickly or we will gain strength for the conflict. If you spend more time in prayer, Jesus was found many days, you know, early in the morning, disciples will be looking for him. He, you know, they found out he had spent the night in prayer, you know, somewhere on some mountain, somewhere alone, secluded. Well, you know, spent all that time praying. And when he did, well, he could face situations. And, you know, but again, what is your confidence level in the Lord? That's the thing that we need to ask ourselves. Sometimes unexpected situations happen. There was this woman, you know, we call her the Shunammite, or the Bible calls her the Shunammite woman. Her story is in 2 Kings chapter 4. And, you know, she recognized that this man of God always passing by and say, hey, come on in here, and so on. And the one time she even told her husband, they set a table for him in a small place where he could study and do stuff. And you know her story. Elisha finally asked her, look, what can we do for you? You're always showing us this kindness. Said, well, I'm okay. I'm in the midst of my own people. I don't need anything. But she needed a child. So Elisha told the servant, tell her that according to the word of the Lord, by this time next year, you'll have a baby. And first, she didn't believe it. So look, people have said many of these things to me many times. You know, don't give me false hope. It's not going to work. But it worked. She had a child. And after a few days or years, when the child was a bit grown, one day the child said, my head, come down with some severe migraine. You know, and the thing was so strong that he actually died, gave up the ghost, lifeless. The woman, you know the story, picked him up. And instead of panicking all over the place, she had a resolve in her mind. You know, I'm going to go. At that particular time, the man of God had gone away to pray somewhere. I'm going to go and seek him out. And I'm not coming back until something happens. She said to one of the young men, servants, saddle me, you know, something that I can ride. Husband said to her, where are you going? So I want to see the man of God. Well, it's not even the Sabbath day. It's not even the this and that. What you going to for? Say, it is well. You know, our son was dead, lifeless at the moment, and yet she could say it is well. Who does that? You know, but she was determined, and her story has become a song. Some hymn writers wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul, out of that, because of her story. And she just kept saying, it is well, the whole time. And you can read that story. I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through about 26. And even when she was approaching the place where she knew the man of God was always gone off to pray, Elisha saw her afar off, say, that looks like that Shunammite woman coming. Send his servant, go check it out. You know, what is the matter with her? And you say, well, something must be troubling her, but the Lord has hid it from me. Well, see, God may not even show everything you're going through the prophet, even the prophet that you rely on. This woman relied on this Elisha, but God had had this particular thing, held it back from telling him. That tells us that God doesn't tell everything to everybody, and even not even the prophet sometimes. You know, so the man said, well, I know something is troubling her, but God hasn't shown it to me. By the time she came near, and they're trying to grab the man at his feet, the servant wanted to thrust her away. He said, look, leave her alone. Something is bothering her. God hasn't told me. I need to know what this is. But in the meantime, she had said, it is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. That was her response. The posture that he had in her mind was, it is well. And because of that, well, it became well for her. At the end of the story was, the boy was restored to life. Praise the Lord. So, can you say it is well when you are going through? No matter what you are going through, it is well with my soul. The Lord is able to keep you in perfect peace. The Lord is able to, uphold you no matter what you are going through. There's a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 talking about peace again. He said, the God of peace himself. Hallelujah. Not anyone, not the world, not whoever, but the very God of peace himself. Grant you peace by all means. You know, God wants us to have peace by all means. That means, well, you know, some people say, movers and shakers. Move and shake whatever he needs to do. He will ensure that that peace is coming to you. But we have a part to play. Our part is keep your mind on him. Trust in him. Don't let your mind float all over the place. The devil is very good at playing on the minds. You know, if you don't hear from someone that you need to hear from, the devil play on your mind. Yeah, okay, maybe some evil have befallen them. Maybe they have collapsed. Maybe something happened. Maybe they got in some accident. Maybe this and that. I mean, the devil is a master at those things. That's why you must guard your mind. You know, in those situations, well, you go back to Philippians chapter 4. You not only read verses 6 and 7, you also read verse 8. Verse 8 says, in situations like that, or whatever you're going through, you channel your thoughts into positive things. Don't let your thoughts run wild and say, oh, maybe some evil befell them. That's why I'm not able to hear from them. You know, I mean, the devil just likes to throw these things around in people's minds. Channel your thinking into positive things. You know, evil shall not befall you. You know, the Bible says, you know, no evil shall befall you. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. So channel your thoughts into these things. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Well, let's read it together. There are certain things that we should think about. Other things we should try to deflect them away from our minds. Praise the Lord. Finally, my brethren, what things soever are true, you know, remember, the word of God is true. Thy word is truth. That's it. The devil can never tell the truth. He can bring facts, but truth and facts are not the same. The word of God is the truth. The devil may use facts. It may even be a fact that you've been diagnosed with one thing or the other. But the truth is in God's word. That's right. And so the things that are true, that's the word of God. Think on those things. Find scriptures. Use those things to encourage yourself. Things that are honest. Devil is never honest. It's always tricky. The sly old devil, always slicky. Things that are just, things that are pure. Every word of God is pure, we are told. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, remember the good report of the Lord. Remember the testimony against the lion. Remember the testimony against the bear. And then use that to as a fortress and to fortify your mind for the battle against Goliath. Remember things that are of virtue. There be any praise. You know, remember the praise of the Lord. Remember the times you gave testimony of God's deliverance. Well, he delivered you then. He'll deliver you now. You know, so this is how we strengthen ourselves. Praise the Lord. And you would think that these are simple lessons that we all know. But the funny thing is, somehow, when we're going through, we forget these things. And I don't know why. You know, why should you forget? You know, let me show you also another story of the difference between someone who sprayed up and others who are not. This story is a story of Jesus and his disciples. These were his disciples, not just the disciples. They were his disciples. These were the people he handpicked, and he was training them, and they were with him many years, but, you know, in the beginning days and so forth, you know, they loved to eat and drink. Jesus was even defending them. One time somebody said, why do your disciples eat all the time when the disciples of John are fasting? The disciples of the Pharisees are fasting. John the Baptist is here with us. His disciples fast. Disciples of the Pharisees fast. But your disciples, they're always eating. And Jesus said, well, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? I love the way Jesus always answers a question with a question. He said, well, I tell you what, as long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot mourn. Why should they be mourning and fasting? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then shall they fast in those days. Well, these are those days. Because the bridegroom is away from us now. We're waiting for him. This is the days we should be fasting. Well, anyway, these people didn't know how to fast and pray. You know, one time somebody, Matthew 17, brought somebody to, you know, my son, the devil is casting him to the fire and lunatic and, you know, epileptic and convulsions and different things. Disciples couldn't do it. They said, well, why couldn't we do it? Well, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But then he turned around and said, well, nevertheless, this stuff like this, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. But meanwhile, you guys have been eating and doing all kinds of things. Well, that's why it's not obeying you. You know, so Jesus lived a life of prayer. You know, they'd look for him in the mornings. They wouldn't find him. He was out all night long praying in the mountain. And when they found him, said, what are you doing here, master? He wouldn't tell them. He's been praying. That's how he does. You know, and the whole time he was like that. So one time they got into a boat and they were going somewhere in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said, well, you know, let us pass over to the other side. You know the story. We told it more than a dozen times on here. But it goes with this lesson. So they entered into the ship and Jesus went to the back, lay down a pillow. He was kind of tired, so he just decided to sleep. He knew the storm was coming, but it didn't bother him at all. He wasn't even going to be praying during the storm. Now, notice this. There's a big difference here. Jesus was not going to pray about the storm at that time because he already prayed. You know, he was not going to worry about the storm. He was just going to sleep through the storm. He had perfect peace, probably sleeping like a baby on that pillow. Asleep. Meanwhile, the disciples and the storm came, slammed into the boat, the water and everything, filling the boat, that tossed up and down. And the water was filled the boat, we're told, which means he also filled the place where Jesus was, but didn't matter to him. You know, yeah, he was in the hinder part of the ship, even water all around him, just sleeping. So they rushed to him, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus woke up and said, what's happening? He said, look at all this stuff. Why can't you be sleeping in a town like this? And Jesus said, these people, how long will I be with them? My goodness, when are they going to learn anything? You know, Jesus was more disappointed at the behavior of the disciples in that situation than he wasn't even worried about the storm. He was more concerned about how these people were panicking. He was like, so he got up and said, okay, we'll take care of this. So he got up and rebuked the wind. He said, look, I don't need you to make my disciples, you know, scared. Be quiet now. You know, that's how you rebuke the wind. Be quiet. Peace. Be still. Said to the wind, you know. And he said, look at him. And then when the wind calmed down, and he turned to the disciples and now rebuked the disciples as well. So he did two rebukings. First, the stream, you know, the wind to calm everything down. And then the disciples. And when he was rebuking the disciples, he said, why are you so fearful? See, so that's the thing. Fear because of the raging winds, because of the water slamming into the ship. And everything. Now, these people were skilled fishermen. They've been in the midst of all this kind of thing before. I mean, this is not, you know, but they panicked. And they probably panicked because they did not pray. They probably didn't pray before they went on that shipping trip. You know, they didn't pray. And people are about to travel. They don't pray. They don't do anything. They just pick up their bags and go like unbelievers do. And then the plane begins to experience turbulence, then everybody is running helter-skelter. Why didn't you pray before you got on that plane? If you did, I mean, and I'm not talking of microwave kind of prayer, 10 seconds, throw it in, throw it out. I'm talking about prayer. Hallelujah. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availing much. I'm talking about praying, traveling in prayer until you get results. If you already done that and you got on that plane, boy, you know, even if something happened or was happening, you will not be panicking like others who hadn't prayed. So that's the difference. Jesus was prayed up. He wasn't panicking. And actually, the lesson that we learned from Jesus' posture was that it is not, you know, during the storm that you need to be praying. You should have prayed before the storm. And then you just ride out the storm. Jesus was just going to ride out the storm because of what he said. What did he say? Well, let us pass over onto the other side. Let's go through. So whether storm is coming or not, what he said, the word that he spoke, will sustain itself. What was going to get them to the other side was not necessarily the mastery of the shipmaster or whatever. They know how to steer the boat. No, the word he spoke. That they should have listened to what he says. The master said, we're going to the other side. So that's it. Come what may, we will get there. And that's it. And Jesus would have been more impressed, you know, but instead, I panicked all over the place. Well, you know, I should have been praying, should have prayed through, but yet Jesus was still, you know, kind to them. So we also learned something from this story. It is not every storm that we're going through that God necessarily needs to remove or prevent us from even going through the storm. Sometimes he just lets you go through the storm. But he already knows that you're not going to be overwhelmed. Praise God. The storm might be to strengthen you. And it's not every storm that we need to. You don't have to expend your spiritual energy against every storm in the midst of the storm. You already prayed. The storm is there. Let it do its thing. It's a storm. That's all it is. And no storm can last forever. The storm will come and the storm will pass. It's just that simple. Just like rain. You may have a blizzard, a storm, wind, rain, torrential downpour, but it will pass. It will not last forever. You know, it's just like the night. The night may be very dark and leery and so forth, but it will pass. It cannot last forever. You know, all these things must pass. You know, the storm will also pass. Praise God. We need to have that confidence level. Well, let me recap the things we have said today. Confidence in the Lord. See, keep your mind on him. Trust in Lord Jehovah forever, for in him is everlasting strength. And those that do that, the Lord will keep them in perfect peace. You know, the laws of physics, they are amazing that people discovered. You know, one of the laws of physics is a body at rest. You can read, you know, Newton's law of motion, law of inertia, and all these things, if you are into that kind of thing. But one of the early laws is a body at rest. They call it first law of inertia or motion or so on. You know, tends to remain at rest. You know, the body of, and one day I was thinking about this. You know, if you are at rest, then you tend to be at rest. If you're agitated, then you will be more agitated. You see? Even physics will tell you that. So, you know, if right now I'm looking at on my table here, on my desk, I've got my iPad, I've got a few things, I've got my computer. I mean, it's an object. It will stay on that table. And it will tend to stay there. In that particular situation or condition until some force tries to move it out of the way. Otherwise, it will just be at rest. You know, now, something that's already in motion, if you look outside and the wind is blowing, you know, some feathers and some leaves around, those things would tend to keep blowing and just moving around. They won't stay in one place because the wind blowing them around and they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but this one is at rest and it continues to be at rest until something else happens, you know. And so, you know, if you are in a car, physics tells you, and you're moving, relatively, because you are moving with that car, it's almost as if you are not moving. Relative motion is another law. It's as if you are not moving. But when that car suddenly stops or slams on the brakes, you know, then your body lunges forward. That's why they tell you to wear your seatbelt. You know, some people have been thrown through the windscreen because the body tends to continue at the rate at which the car was going, but the car suddenly stopped and your body lunges forward because the body is still trying to go at that rate. And then some people crash through the windscreen or when they're not wearing their seatbelt or something. You know, so even the laws of physics, you know, they know these things. It's God's laws. If you be at rest, you continue to be at rest. If you're agitated, like even, you know, you study the atoms and all these things, some of the more stable atoms, they're just stable, you know, moving around in orbit like that. And the ones that are unstable, they can easily get out of orbit. Yeah. When you are stable, I don't want to get too technical here, but when you are stable, you tend to remain stable. And if you are unstable, then you tend to remain unstable. You know, so be stable. Hallelujah. Even in spiritual things, in the book of Revelation, finally, it tells us at the end, he said, let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is unholy, well, be unholy. I mean, in whatever state you are, they are in continue. If you are holy, then remain holy. If you are stable, then remain stable. If you are unstable, well, you might remain unstable, but, you know, get stable. That's better. Revelation 22:11 gives us a picture about that. What am I saying? I am saying that if you develop the posture of peace and stability, you might actually remain at peace and be still stable when stuff is coming against you to throw you off kilter. That's right. That's what I'm trying to say. You are at rest, you tend to be at rest. If you are the agitated type, you tend to be agitated. So any small thing, you fly off the handle, you're agitated, run up and down. You know, but we don't want to do that. Let's see how Isaiah says it. And I'm going to end on this note and then I'll have us pray. In the early days on this platform, a couple of years ago, I began to give out this scripture. And I said that people should memorize it and use it. And some people did, actually, because I heard it. And people were quoting it and so on and so forth. After a while, people forgot. But let me remind us that this is a good scripture for you to use to remind yourself to be at peace in the midst of the storm, and no matter what you are going through, be at peace anyway. Put your game face on. For the Lord God will help me. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. See, that's his confidence. He put his trust in the Lord. You know, he knew the Lord will help him. Well, therefore, shall I not be confounded? I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to run helter-skelter, no matter what's going on. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. In America, they say, put your game face on. You know, I'm not, you know, a flint can also be a piece of wood that, you know, somebody break their, you know, shatter one of their bones. You put that there to help them keep it in place, you know, like that. You know, so you can just, I'm going to keep my face straight on. I'm not going to look here and there. He's determined this in his mind and he's going to encourage himself with that. Say, I'm going to put my game face on. I'm going to set my face like a flint and I know. Do you know it? I know. That I shall not be ashamed. If you have not learned this verse as a memory verse, learn it today. And if you have learned it and forgotten it, remind yourself of it. Isaiah 50 and verse 7, I call it a declaration of faith. This is my posture of my trust in the Lord. No matter what's going on, I will not be moved. There's a song that says that, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. No matter what. Praise God. You know, some of the apostles, they went through many things. Paul especially. He would talk about, you know, all the things that he went through. You know, storms, shipwreck, thrown into prison, you know, all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, he said, well, none of these things move me. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. None of these things move me. And I can't tie my life down to myself. You know, I mean, he made up his mind. Even when somebody said, well, don't go there. If you go there, they're going to bind you like this and so on. He said, well, I don't care. You know, the Lord will be with me or whatever. If I die, I die. He didn't care. His mind was made up. Praise the Lord. Well, is your mind made up? There's a song that says, I got my mind made up. Well, you got your mind made up? Well, let our minds be made up. Made up on the right thing, though. Made up on the fact that the Lord is able to see me through whatever situation I'm in. Praise the Lord. Now, that's our lesson for today. And then we are going to pray together. Now, some of us may hear, you know, some rumbling, but I tell you, you know, just throw those things away. We're going to sanctify our ears today that I will not hear any rumbling. Praise the Lord. You know, I will not be afraid of evil tidings, the psalmist said. My heart is fixed because I'm trusting in the Lord. That's right. You know, are you trusting in the Lord? Is your heart fixed? Well, this is the prayer that we are praying. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. You know, so I will hear no evil. I will see no evil. And I will speak no evil with my mouth. Neither will I think evil in my heart. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Well, you know, evil tidings is when the devil, you know, the devil can be even the one fabricating the thing. He does that a lot to bring fear into our minds. It can fabricate a lie, something that is not even happening. It will fabricate it to you as though it was happening. And you will hear rumblings of it. But what is going to be your answer? Your answer should be, well, I am trusting in the Lord and I will not be afraid. You know, listen to this. Psalm 112 verse 7. He said, well, let me start from verse 15. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Just like Psalm 125. Will not be moved. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed. That means his heart is on the Lord. Isaiah 26 and 3. All these scriptures line up together. Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. You know, because your heart is established on the Lord. And you will not be afraid. So I am going to pray over the room. And I want us to pray together. That the Lord will help us to put on this strength of the Lord. You know, in our posture, we will not be afraid. And even when you are afraid, the psalmist said, what time I'm afraid? What am I going to do? What time is it? Afraid time. But what should you do? I will trust in the Lord. In God will I hope in his word. And I will praise him in his word. Use his word even to praise him. At what time you are afraid. And don't let the enemy get the better of you. Praise the Lord. Now, that is what we are talking about today. And I pray that the Lord will give us understanding that, and let none of these things, you know, move you of what may the devil may be throwing at you. Stay, let your heart be stayed on him, and it will keep you in perfect peace. That's how we get that peace. Our mind is stayed on him. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of anything else, we also build up spiritual capacity through praying ahead, not waiting until the trouble, then we start to pray. Sometimes, you know, you're going to, you might have been in a deeper hole, and it takes a long time to dig yourself out of it. But if you pray way ahead, God might try to give you wisdom to avoid that hole in the first place. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray over the room this morning. I thank you for everybody that's here with us listening. Thank you for the words of encouragement. I pray that our hearts will be strengthened to be stayed on the Lord. And we want to direct our hearts, Lord, into you and focused on you and stayed on you, that we may have this perfect peace. And in every situation, the Bible says we should not be afraid and we should not be anxious, but we should commit our prayers and supplications unto you with thanksgiving. So we thank you, Lord, knowing that you know what we are going through, and whatever we're going through, you are there with us. Be not afraid. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, and verse 8 also, that it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He's with you. Never leave you nor forsake you, we are told. So Lord, we thank you because you are always there with us. You will never leave us, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Say, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may then boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. No matter what man can do unto me, or any situation that can come against me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory for the word of encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.